Hey there, Roamers. Welcome to the Roam in Your Home podcast and YouTube channel, where we get to hear from full-time RVers, unpack their experiences, and learn actionable advice to help you roam in your home too. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Thank you so much for being here. Buckle up, my friend. Let's get ready to go on an adventure together right now. Before we start the show, I have to tell you about an exciting opportunity for solo travelers. If you love the idea of this RV life but not sure about going it alone, now you don't have to. Embark on your solo adventures with confidence and camaraderie. Join the Wandering Individuals Network RV Club today for the ultimate journey tailored to the independent traveler. Visit WindsRVClub.com to learn more, and be sure to check out Episode 6, where Janelle, the owner of Winds RV Club and a solo traveler herself, shares her story and all about this fantastic club. You won't want to miss it. Now back to the show. Welcome back to the Roam in Your Home podcast, the show where we dive into the world of RV living with tips, stories, and insights from those who live it every day. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. If you love getting all the helpful RV tips and valuable information that will make this RV life easier, then this episode is for you. I am so excited to have Kelly and Chris from My 500 Square Foot Life on the show today. Chris is so amazing at all the improvements and modifications that he's done, and Kelly is a natural at documenting it and sharing it all with everyone. They have such kind and generous hearts and love helping others in the RV community. I loved getting to know them better, and I know you will too. I'm excited to share part one of our conversation with you today, then come back next week for part two. You won't want to miss it. You will learn so much from both episodes. I know I have. So I won't make you wait any longer. Please help me give a warm welcome to Kelly and Chris. Hi, Kelly and Chris. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, Jamie.
I am so excited to have you guys here. I have loved following your adventures on Instagram, and you guys share the best tips. And Kelly, you do such a good job with your recipes. I'm really excited to get to know you guys better and for our listeners to learn more about your experiences. So thanks for being here.
We're excited to be here.
And so how long have you guys been full-time RVing?
So we've been full-time for about 2 years, and we're weekenders for about a year prior.
Oh, that is so awesome. And what made you guys decide to start doing this?
Kind of me. One day I looked at Chris and I just said, you know what, we got to do it. After we had our RV, Chris grew up RVing, and Pinterest, I'm going to blame Pinterest really kind of for all of this. It kept showing one day just really cute, renovated little tiny campers that honestly I wouldn't have been able to fit in. But I just kept seeing them, and I was like, Chris, I really think we should do this. Just camping, you know, I was like, this will be fun. And he's like, Kelly, I don't think you're going to like it. Like, it's not what you think it is.
Yeah, that's, I grew up luckily traveling in RVs from pull behinds to bigger fifth wheels and really enjoyed it. A lot of great life experience. And some of my best memories in childhood were something to do with a trip in an RV. So it wasn't a hard sell for me. I just had to make sure my beautiful bride was ready.
Oh, I love that. I love that you grew up with this lifestyle. Randy and I did not know anything about RVing before we bought ours. We started RVing to do travel therapy. We're both physical therapist assistants, and we thought this was a good idea to be able to, you know, kind of have like our home base always with us, all of our stuff. And so we weren't sure if we would like it, and thankfully we absolutely love it. But when we were hitting the road and ended up finding out that we absolutely loved it, we always say, gosh, I wish we grew up like this. So it's awesome, Chris, that you grew up like this and now you get to do these awesome adventures with your daughter and make some memories with her too. That's so great. And so tell everyone, and I know the answer to a lot of these questions, but I want our listeners to find out, who is in the RV with you?
So it's my wife and I, our daughter, who is going on adulthood, but is actually 12, and our little pup, Harper.
Aw, Harper's so cute. And your daughter is Emma, right?
Correct, Emma.
And so I want to find out more about your RV. And this is your second RV that you're in now. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And so I'd love for you guys to tell us, how did you find your first one? Like, what were you looking for? What kind of research were you doing to find your first one? And then what made you decide to go with your current one?
Okay, so for our first one, again, Pinterest, Chris said, you know what, I'm just going to take you. You're going to walk in them. You're going to see, you know, kind of how small they are. And you're not going to like it because you don't rough it. Because this was for camping. And I grew up camping at state parks. And it was sometimes in an RV that maybe didn't have air, or it was tent camping mostly in the swamp in Florida.
Oh, wow.
So in the summer, if that gives you an aspect of what I thought camping was.
Yes.
Which, you know, it was always fun. S'mores, cooking on the fire, hot dogs, all that was great.
You're right.
That was definitely roughing it. So he's like, you need to go in. You need to see some. So we went to a Camping World and we left with an RV that day, a travel trailer. And it was really a great layout for weekending. But whenever we decided to full time, Chris said, okay, we're going to go on a real trip. We're from Florida. We went out to Big Bend, Texas for 11 days to see if we could really make it in an RV and not choke each other. So we did, and we did great. And then we went to an RV show. Definitely recommend, you know, going into a lot of different RVs to see what you want for a full-time RV. Kind of had a list, you know, we really want this or that, you know, doors, separate spaces, you know, things like that. And we found this RV at that RV show in Tampa in 2022. And of course, that was the time that you couldn't really get a lot of big rigs easily. You had to wait a long time. You had to, you know, finagle all the things to get that. But one came available at a local dealer and we went down and yeah, kind of here we are.
That is so cool. So tell us, what did you start out with? What was the RV that you had and what's the RV that you have now?
We started out with a Keystone Hideout 272BH, which was a 31-foot travel trailer. And now we have a Keystone Avalanche 390DS fifth wheel, which is a dual suite. That's what the DS stands for. So we have a master bathroom and bedroom that is a king. And then we actually have a separate, like on the other end, it was a queen bedroom and a whole nother bathroom with a shower and everything. So it's, you know, dual space.
That is awesome. Yeah, I love your RV. It is so perfect for you guys and your daughter. It is definitely home on wheels for sure. And so when you guys went to that RV show, did you actually see this floor plan?
Yes, we had a list that we wanted to go through. It had a couple of different brands and they all had like bunk houses, but we wanted a full room with the full separate bathroom. It was kind of important to me for Emma to have her own shower, her own space, becoming a preteen and a teenager. And I just wanted that space for her. And I was on a Facebook group for just full-time families. I joined that first. I always, you know, recommend people reaching out and researching. And that's one of the things I did back then. And someone mentioned this layout and I told Chris, I looked it up on the map. It was really great. They have a really great RV show. I had a map of all the different brands and where you could find them specifically with certain layouts. And this was at a time that this was the only layout like this that you can find. Now, a couple of years later, there's a few different layouts by a few different brands that have very similar layouts. But at the time, this was the only one that was like rated for full timing, because I don't think people always know that there are different ratings for RVs, that some aren't rated to be lived in, have the weight, have the slides out, you know, all the time.
Right.
So this was one that had that particular rating. And we walked in it and I was like, I think this is it. Like, you know, it hit every mark that we had. A couple of things, you know, just cosmetic and design choices as far as, you know, like the couch and different things that we were like, oh, okay, well, maybe we can switch this out for this. And of course, we've done just that over the last couple of years. We're always changing, upgrading. And Chris is the guru of all these things.
You guys have made so many good improvements and modifications that are awesome. I love how you guys share what you're doing and your great ideas with everyone. So that's so cool that you're able to do that. And Chris, yes, well done. You do so much good work. And Kelly, I'm sure you guys probably have the ideas together and then Chris does it. That's so awesome. You guys really share a lot of great tips for everyone. So what was the RV show that you guys went to?
We went to the Tampa RV show. I think it's called America's Super Show. I'm not sure on that, but it's the Tampa RV show. You know, the big giant one that's held in January every year.
Yes, we love that one.
It was so giant. We only went for one day. Honestly, I could have spent like a lot of days.
Yes.
It was raining and it was freezing that day. I remember so much. We were going in all these RVs and they were just getting like soaked everywhere. And I was like, well, we're going to see what it looks like with water.
Right.
And we went and just had a really great time there. And we kind of had contenders. And of course, this layout was the top one. And Chris said, okay, we're gonna leave. We went to Cracker Barrel and we had lunch and we just kept talking about it. And I was like, I really think I like it, but I think I need to see it again. We went back and I did videos and pictures so that I could go back because I saw so many RVs that day. My tip for people always, if they do go to an RV show, take pictures of like the layout model on the outside of the RV first, and then take pictures on the inside so that you can reference it back. Because when you get home, they are all going to look the same. Like, you're going to be like, was that this one? Was that this one? And we knew that we had to buy a new RV to get this particular layout because it was kind of a new concept. You couldn't get one that was older and refurbish it. So in that, you kind of are stuck with the whatever the year series kind of color layouts are. So I didn't want to buy a new RV and then paint it. So I wanted to make sure that we picked one that we liked the colors, they were like aesthetic, and we didn't have to do a lot of those changes necessarily. Well, because when you buy new, it's obviously going to cost more.
Right. No, that's so smart too. And I love your tip about taking the pictures. I do the same thing when I go, because yes, I didn't do it at first. And then it's like, oh wait, which one was this one? And yeah, that can get really confusing. And so did you guys actually make your deal at the RV show?
No, we did not. We still kept looking for a couple months afterwards, attempting to find one. Because as much as I like the discounts offered at the RV shows, and I know the warranty will pick it up, you see what happens to those. And unfortunately, they have a lot of likelihood for problems, in my opinion, just with the amount of people coming and going, all that. So we didn't really want to purchase one of the ones at the show for that reason. And I don't even know if they had one of this model available. I believe the only one they had was a show model that they were using because they didn't have a lot of them running around.
I see.
We ended up, like I said, waiting a couple months and then went through a local RV dealer, somewhat local to us, a smaller business one, just to, you know, help the smaller mom and pop places out by doing a good sale through those guys.
I love that. That's so great. And do you guys remember, was it a significant discount at the RV show? And did you guys end up spending more money when you bought at the local shop? Do you guys remember that? Was it a huge deal?
So I don't remember the price at the RV show. I want to say that maybe it was even already sold. Like, I can't remember the price there on that. And it's, sometimes you do have a large discount at RV shows. We've gone to RV shows after that, and you could see, you know, sometimes $10,000 or $20,000 less often for the models, especially for a model that, like, there's another layout coming soon after. So they kind of want to cycle those out and get ready for the new ones. But whenever we did go to the mom and pop shop, and it was a local, they had like two little locations in Central Florida, and comparing it to the larger one that we purchased the first one from, there was a significant discount in the like add-on fees. I can tell you that for sure. There wasn't like a delivery fee, even though we took it ourselves, there was still what was considered a delivery fee on the first one. And they did take off, I want to say it was about $10,000 at the beginning for purchasing from this newer one. I don't know. Actually, I think it was rebates maybe at the time from the RV manufacturer specifically. I don't remember what the things were, but we did pay significantly less fees in that first one. And they were really great. They went above and beyond it. They actually got this particular RV from the manufacturer directly from Indiana. Like, it came, like, it still had sawdust in it. Like, it was like literally off the truck delivered. And they were really great with us on that because we were very adamant that we wanted this layout. There were some other ones that were very close, but we wanted this one. And the salesperson that we went through, she worked hard on that one.
Oh, that's so good.
Usually I'm the one that does all the research on pricing, and they were comparable.
Oh, that's so good.
Anywhere else. So, you know, I would have spent a fraction more just to deal more with local and a smaller company, but at the end of the day, they matched and kept their pricing very competitive to any of your larger stores. So
that's really good to know, because yeah, that's a lot of questions that people have when they look, like, do they go to the large, you know, Camping Worlds and the big, you know, General RV and those big names, or, you know, is it better to shop at the mom and pop? And, you know, I definitely can see, you know, pros and cons to both, but it is so nice to support the mom and pop, the small business. We always try to do that when we travel too, and, you know, just to make any kind of purchase. So that's awesome. And then, so you ordered yours and then you had to wait for it to come in?
No, we didn't order it. So ordering it at the time was almost a year wait.
Oh, wow.
Regardless of who you went through, because it was just such a highly wanted one. It was right after COVID and we had a lot of families that wanted to hit the road, and this is a good family layout, and you could not get it any other way. So I sent a message to this dealer and I was like, hey, we want this model. And she said, okay, well, sometimes we get some from Keystone and we know that they're an Avalanche, but we don't know which Avalanche, because there's three different Avalanche layouts that you can get. And the other two are more so, one doesn't have a separate room and one is a bunkhouse, not a full room. And she said, I will not know what it is until it's like on the truck ready to come. And I was was like, okay, well, just, you know, call us when you get that. And it was probably 5 or so months after the we first found this layout at the RV show. She called on like a Thursday and she's like, hey, we'll have one Monday. I don't know what it is, you know, but I'll know tomorrow. And she called that next day and she's like, it's a 390DS. It's ready. You know, if you want it, you know, I've got it earmarked for you. You got like 24 hours to let me know before I call down the list. And I was like, oh my goodness. Okay. This is, you know, happening so fast. But at that time, you know, we had so many decisions going into RV life to make. They were very simple, you know, as far as like, is this right or wrong? Should we do it? But it was, you know, a lot of change and a lot of like, you know, throw it all up in the air and see how it lands. It landed the right way, but we were like, okay, let's think on it. You know, we'll call her tomorrow. And here we are.
Oh, that's so awesome. It's kind of fun when it happens like that, because, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, you really don't have a lot of time to think and plan. And sometimes that's even better. Well, you had 5 months to know that you were, I'm sure, thinking about it and trying to figure out if this was for you. But when you have to like, okay, 24 hours, you got to make a decision. It's, you know, kind of is exciting. That's for sure. And so now I want to kind of go through the three things that you love about your RV. And I would kind of like to find out too about your other one. Like, what were the things that you loved about your first travel trailer? And then want to find out the three things that you love about your current fifth wheel.
All right. So the three things I loved about the prior was the fuel economy I got because of weight difference.
Yeah.
That was a big one.
Yes.
It really was an entry level RV. So we did love it. It had a small bunkhouse in the back. We did make sure it was just large enough to have bedroom doors in it. That was just something for me. I don't want that entirely open floor concept.
Right.
With a family. So, but it was very basic. It didn't have a lot of cabinets and all that. It was meant to go weekend, you know, to go camping short stints and then a, you know, vacation here and there. So,
right.
You know, that was the cost difference was a big piece of it, and to try it out. So really wouldn't say we had anything that we really fell in love with on that one. I could be wrong, but we also, it was good for what we wanted it for. It was exactly what we wanted at the time.
That's the one that you took to Big Bend for 11 days. Is that right?
Correct. That's one we towed to Big Bend. So,
okay.
I would say one of the things I didn't like about it, and this would be a generic statement, is just the difference of towing a pull behind versus a fifth wheel. Just the work it takes is so much less with that fifth wheel. And that's something I told my wife as soon as I hooked to this one and drove it. I don't know if I made it 20 miles down the road. I was like, I'll never own a bumper pull again.
Yes, that is exactly what most people do not know about until they tow both. And most people don't ever get a chance to have both. And so our first RV was a 40-foot fifth wheel. And, you know, again, we didn't know anything about RVing. And we buy this, you know, 40-foot fifth wheel. And we had a 3500 dolly. And so my husband, I never did drive and tow it, so I can't speak from personal experience. But he always said, like, this is so easy. This is awesome. This is way better than I planned. And then we had this crazy idea to downsize to like just for a couple years, bucket list adventure. And we bought a 20-foot travel trailer. In the interim, we were looking for a big rig again. We were trying to figure out if we're going to a motorhome or whatever. But yeah, as soon as we drove off the lot, he's like, whoa. I mean, like, and we actually still had the 3500 dually at the time, but still, it's so much different towing the travel trailer versus the fifth wheel that most people don't realize. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Oh, yeah. I've since pulled a couple of different bumper pulls, and that's something I'm used to, but it definitely is much more enjoyable to hook to this fifth wheel where I can drive almost one hand down the road like you would if nothing was there.
Exactly. And most people don't realize that because they start out just like you guys start out with a travel trailer. It's usually like to see if they even like it, and it's, you know, more affordable, and, you know, you can usually tow it with a lot, you know, different trucks versus, you know, the fifth wheel needs a better payload and all that. But I'm glad you mentioned that because a lot of people do not realize that. And of course, they're probably not going to mention that, you know, at the dealer. So that's good to know. And so what are three things that you love about your current one? And I'm sure there's a lot more than three because that's awesome. But what are some things to give people? And I know you already talked about the layout, but definitely want to hear more about it.
That's one. I mean, I think the layout kind of leads to a lot of our favorite features in all reality. Having the dual suite and having some personal space for everybody is huge, especially, you know, like I said, with our daughter's age and where she's at, she likes to have her personal space, and she should have that. So it's nice having that separate room, her own bathroom, all that stuff for herself. And then we even have the loft above her bedroom, so she kind of has her own little game room, if you will, as well.
I love that. I just saw that video. That's so cool, especially for someone her age. That is awesome.
So really, really do love that. And then another one's that the opposing slides, which is, semi-common, but the amount of space you gain with having slides that are opposed, it's tremendous. It makes the kitchen slash living area feel just 10 times bigger. So, like I said, a lot of it has to do really with the floor plan and how it sits as to why we love this model so much.
It really is a perfect layout, and I'm so glad that you guys found that before you started full-time RVing. And I'm glad it didn't come out like after you already bought something. And yeah, that usually happens to us. We find something, and then like the next year they unveil like our dream, floor plan or something, or our model. But that's great. And so now let's talk about some things that you disliked about your travel trailer, and then some things that you either did change or want to change in your fifth wheel.
Dislike in the travel trailer was, considering for full timing, was the lack of cabinets. Like, there was legitimately one kitchen cabinet. I never even turned on that stove or oven, not even one time.
Oh, wow.
And that was the great thing about having a weekend, RV. Chris grilled every time because it was on a weekend. He wasn't working. Like, I didn't have to cook. This is fantastic.
Right.
And so then for considering for full timing, I was like, okay, I need a little more space. I need a couple of pots, a little more for
Right.
pantry. Like, I would load up a laundry basket with our meals that we needed to take it from the house into the travel trailer for the weekend. And again, Chris was grilling, so I had no problems.
Right.
So just making sure that we had that layout was what we wanted from that first one. Really, it was all space. That was the only things that we were like, we definitely need to upgrade from this one for full timing. We just have more laundry. We have more everything. We have to fit all of our things in this RV. We don't have a house to leave it at. So that was really the, I guess, downside to the travel trailer that we had, which is making sure that we had that space that we needed. And for this one, dislikes, when we first went in, we were like, okay, there's a couple of things. Like, we had a hit list, right, that we needed that this checked almost every box for. The major thing, as soon as I saw it, was the couch. You have a RV that has two whole bedrooms that can accommodate however many people. We only ever say the exact number of people in our family.
Right.
Is and it had a two-person couch. I was like, oh, that is definitely not gonna work. We have more butts that need to sit on that couch.
Right.
And then of course we had like the table. It was a good table. It had nothing wrong with it, but to have a longer couch, we had to give up the table. And there's always give and take with an RV. I think people need to, be aware of that. Like, you have what you really need, and you have things you kind of want to need, and hit what you can while you go through, change what you can if you want to, and then just have a list for the next RV if you continue and you want to keep going. So the table had to go for that. And then of course we ended up with the bar stools at the island. It works perfect for us. Maybe wouldn't work for everyone, but just having those little changes would be something. It wasn't ideal to go right into it, buy a whole new RV, and then say, okay, I'm gonna go change all this stuff. But we had to make it functional. I think that was important.
I love what you did with your couch. You have like a huge long couch. And then the video I saw, you have like a table at the end of your island with some chairs around that. Is that right? What you still have?
We did originally. That was our first change. I think also it's important for people to know that when you go to make changes in your RV, you don't instantly get exactly what you want, or you're not sure what you want. We had a table first because we weren't sure that we would like bar stools. So we got a little table from Amazon that had two chairs and like a bench that we can move around. I can move it for a Christmas tree. I can move it, here and there. It had a little bit of opportunity in that. But then later, actually, it was after Christmas this year, I said, Chris, I think I really want stools. So we got rid of that table and we got four bar stools from Amazon, and they're around our island and it's the perfect space. We have that whole area in front of the fireplace open again where that table was, and the bar stools work for us. We just move them if we need to. I think we were just in Florida a few weeks ago, and I think we had probably 14 people in our RV, our family that we were visiting, and we just moved bar stools to where we need to. Kids were sitting on the stairs, some were hanging off the loft. Like, it worked perfect.
Oh, that is so awesome. I'll have to check out your decorating with the bar stools and then the table gone. That's awesome. Oh, that sounds really perfect for you guys. And 14 people in your RV is great. And you do have a huge RV, but still, that's a lot of people in there. That's awesome. Well, good. And then is there anything else that you disliked about your current RV that you either have plans to change or anything that you guys are working on? I know you always seem to be doing something. What's on the list?
That's an ever-evolving list. I know one of my biggest dislikes, and it comes with an RV this size that's not a toy hauler, so I want to say that, is the fact of the axles and all that are put under them originally are meant very much so for it, you know, this size RV, but it doesn't give a whole lot of payload after the fact. And that's where, you know, you just being conscious of weight and everything else, you don't have a lot of room to load it up. And I mean, I would just love to see these, you know, 40 plus foot RVs, essentially all of them get a third axle, just so you can get that capacity back. Cause it's, I think with ours, we have roughly 2,000 pounds after, you know, dry weight and everything else, which is not a lot in the scheme of what you'd think. So having to be highly, highly conscious of all of that and making sure that you're not overloading the RV, you're watching all your capacities while you're, you know, even sitting still, that's important because things can still break sitting still.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so true. And a lot of people don't realize that when they are looking, they don't even think about cargo capacity and all that, what you can put in. And there's so much variance when you're looking, and that's a big thing to keep in mind when you're RV shopping. So I'm glad you pointed that out. Did you guys ever weigh in at a cat scale?
Sometimes, you know, you want to go with ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
We haven't ever done that, but whenever we were originally loading this, and then as we've lived in it, I am hyper conscious of weight. I have a favorite phrase of it's all just stuff and we don't need it.
Right.
And that's kind of a generic of if we're not using something, we don't need it.
Right.
It's just that simple. That's just an item and another thing that we carry, and all of that equals weight. So
yeah,
we're very conscious on if anything new comes in, something has to leave.
Yes.
So, you know, just stay very mindful of that, and then placement, so where it's loaded in the RV, so you keep a weight in relation to axles, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, that's definitely good advice.
Chris has done a lot of things to cut weight out, like something recent that we took out 140 pounds of weight, which is giant, was our shower doors. We have two showers, so we have two sets of shower doors, and we switched to a vinyl rolling one, and they're like 12 pounds.
Oh.
So it took out all that heavy glass. So he's really good at like looking at stuff and taking stuff out. Like we took out our headboard. We didn't need a headboard in our bedroom. And that was like super heavy plywood.
Wow.
So that cut out weight there. So he's always looking and cutting weight as well as being mindful of what we're adding in. He's trying to take out what we don't need.
I love that. I saw the before and after of your shower doors. That is so cool. I love that. We have a corner shower and we're still trying to figure out what we can do to take those shower doors out. And I guess it's just a curtain that we can do, but still with the curve, it's kind of awkward to figure it out. But I love that. What was the name of it?
It's from RecPro. It's a retractable vinyl shower door. They're fantastic, you know, as far even cutting weight and everything else, but you don't have to scrub them and clean them. And there's not a track at the bottom to clean. And that's probably my favorite part.
Oh,
it gets stuck in there.
Yes. Oh, that's what I hate about our shower doors the most. So that sounds like a dream.
Our first RV had a shower curtain. And it was actually like a super miniature tub that really you just kind of, it had a, like getting out of the tub was so hard because the floor of the tub was like way above the actual floor of the RV. So when you stepped out, you were stepping down like, I don't know, 18 inches or something crazy. But I didn't like the shower curtain because Emma would always flood trying to take a tiny bath or trying to get a shower. She would flood the bathroom getting out with the shower because the shower curtain wasn't like quite all the way to the wall. And it was a lot to finagle. And I really just didn't want a shower door. You know, it's always wet.
Right.
It was a lot. So I didn't want a shower curtain in there. So I was trying to wait for something a little better than this glass because that glass is so hard to clean all the time.
It is. It is. That's honestly the thing that I hate the most about our bathroom. And so while we're talking about things like, you know, RV accessories and must-haves and, you know, things that you have gotten for your RV and that you guys love, I'd love to ask you more about that. So what are some things that, you know, your three favorite RV accessories or must-haves that you're using right now? I know you guys do a lot of just sharing different tips and there's probably more than three, but what are some things that you'd like to share with others?
I mean, the first one, and I don't know too many people, especially in the South, that would disagree. It's ACs. It's having enough air conditioning for that rig. That one's a huge must-have. The next one is my grill, right? I love grilling, smoking food. So that one is, you know, if I was on a desert island with only three items, that would be one of
And what kind of grill do you have?
So I just recently changed over to a different pellet smoker. It was a Rectech, I think is the brand. So I'm still breaking this one in and learning it, but so far it's great. It's a folding grill, so it's meant to go in, but it still has a decent enough capacity that you can cook a, you know, good sized meal on it for everybody. So, but yeah, that's a huge one for, I think the whole family loves that food as well. So, and then last, it's a residential mattress of all things. You just can't give up and go to the RV mattress. So I know they're a little more oddball, you know, they're not quite the gadgets, if you will, but it's like, man, if there's some things that I can't live without, regardless. I don't care if it's an RV, a house, anything else.
Those are three really good ones. Yes, I love that you mentioned all three of those. Those are very important ones. And what kind of mattress do you have? Do you have anything special, like your residential mattress?
I want to say it's like a Sealy hybrid mattress. So it's one of the like gel mix concepts, but it's cooling. That's nice.
It's definitely heavier than an RV mattress. So, you know, again, considering that weight and everything else, but I would give up so many things to have a heavy mattress that is comfortable.
Yes, absolutely. And our first one, that's something too, like you don't really realize when you're buying an RV how bad the RV mattresses are. Like if you're a brand new RVer like us, we didn't know it looked nice and didn't think about it. And all you need to do is lay down on it for even a couple hours and you're like, okay, we need to do something different. And so that was our first thing too, is we had a ghost bed mattress that we absolutely loved. It's one of those mattresses in a box and it has like, you know, I think it came with like a 120 day money back guarantee, you know, try it, or if you don't like it, they'll have you donate it to a shelter. It was really cool. We absolutely loved it. It has a really good, I think like a 20-year warranty on it. And so we had a king, and so we ended up bringing it into the fifth wheel and just loving it. And when we sold our fifth wheel, we sold the ghost bed mattress because our travel trailer only has a queen. And oh, the mattress that came with it was even worse than in the fifth wheel. And that was one of our first upgrades too. So that's so good. I love that. And so I always like to find out too, when people are doing, you know, selling their house like you guys and selling most of their, you know, belongings and really going for this full-time RV life, what was easier than you thought about doing this RV life?
I think cooking in a kitchen was easier than I expected. Again, in our first RV, I never even turned it on. I was afraid of blowing us up. The propane scared me, the flame scared me, like you have no idea. And so once we got full-time and got settled over here in Texas after we left Florida, I was like, okay, I have to feed us because Chris is working. So we, you know, started out with like grilled cheeses and things like that. And then I was like, one day I was like, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna learn how to cook in this oven. And of course, there was a lot of trial and error, a lot of error, more so at the beginning. It took like 3 hours to cook potatoes one time. I don't know what I was doing wrong with everything. So then I like just started writing down some little tips and, you know, looking at different blogs for tips on doing different things. But definitely cooking is a lot easier than I expected once I figured out what I needed to do. And I actually prefer it now. I know that sounds really crazy, but compared to cooking in this compared to a house, it's much faster because it's hot right away. It's fire. So you don't have to wait for all that preheating and all that. And it's a lot smaller, so you don't have to heat a whole oven.
I love that you're saying that, Kelly, because now you have actually like cooking workshops, right? And baking workshops.
We do. So in all of that, figuring all that out, we started to make bread. We went to one of Chris's coworkers, they had a gathering, and someone made homemade bread. And I was like, oh, I would never do that. That is so much work. And so then like a month later, I'm like, I'm gonna try it. And so again, more trial and error. I also have some dietary restrictions. I can't have any dairy, and a lot of bread has dairy, surprisingly. So I wanted to figure that out, and I did. I could find plenty of recipes that didn't have dairy, and I could find plenty of recipes that used a house oven, but I could never find, and I could, and using an oven for RVs, you could find some tips, but not for making bread. I could never find all of that in one place. So I said, okay, I'm going to figure it out and I'm going to be that place because someone has to.
Right.
Someone needs to, right? And I don't charge for the workshops. I think it's important for people. It's a basic skill, right? So to learn and provide for your family food that's good and good for you.
Right.
Doesn't have a lot of additives. I always question what is in the bread at the store because it can sit in my cabinet for 3 weeks when bread that I've made fresh is good for maybe 3 days. So
right.
Always make sure you consider that. But we have a great time on the workshops. It's just a live video call where, you know, we all share an hour or two, depending on what the bread recipe is together. Sometimes there's kids involved. Sometimes it's loud and crazy, but we have a great time. And we are all learning how to bake in our own oven. Every RV, you could have the same model. Every RV oven is still going to be different. It's going to cook just a little bit different. You're going to be at a different altitude. You're, you know, different things. So it's important for you to learn how to cook in your own oven. So we walk through it. I show how to rise the yeast, which is probably one of the harder things to do because the water temperature is super important, and of course measurements and everything else, but with any baking. But we have a really good time on that.
I love that you're doing that. I totally need to sign up for that. I've never made homemade bread, so I totally need to learn. And I, like you, were the same way when we had our fifth wheel for 4 years. I never cooked in that oven in 4 years, but we did have a convection oven in our microwave, so I just, you know, baked everything in there. But I used the oven just for storage and I was afraid of it. It just didn't seem like, I just wasn't sure how to use it. It was totally different from my, you know, electric oven at home. And I just, you know, I was worried. So now I, you know, have no other choice than to learn how to cook in this little travel trailer. And it's actually a lot better. Like you said, it's a lot easier than we thought, but I've never made bread, would love to join that workshop. And I love that you're doing that and you figured it out and want to share and help others. So that's so cool.
Yeah, we'll be glad to have you.
Awesome. And so what was more difficult than you guys thought about doing this RV life? Was there something that was surprising that you weren't, you know, prepared for that was maybe a little bit more difficult than you guys thought?
Well, I know one of them, to bring this one back up, if you will, was making the bed. Oh, man, yeah. that can be an actual chore. As simple as it sounds.
That's a workout.
Yeah, you just don't think about it as much until you're just trying to fit everything in such a small area. Right. And then another one was really, it's the normal responsibilities that come with it in the scheme of full-timing compared to like being there on the weekends. So when you're out on the weekends, even a vacation, you typically pack enough clothes, you pack enough food. Everything is for the trip that you're about to go on. So you kind of go out, you use everything up, and when you come home, you empty it out and do laundry and, you know, get everything cleaned back up and ready to go. But making that a part of a normal routine, because that's now life, it was a little more difficult than you think to transition that thought process into, oh, it's Tuesday and I need to go wash clothes, compared to, oh, we'll get that when we get back.
That's so true. I never really thought about that. But yeah, that transition is different because you kind of feel like you're on vacation. But no, this is your real life. We're back to reality, but you're still in the RV and you got to go back to doing your chores and cleaning and doing laundry and paying the bills and all that. It is a little bit of a transition.
It's just, I think it's more the mental ability to transition is the difficult part, not the action. It's not difficult to do any of the things I listed. It's just that mentality behind it.
Yep.
Well, and also sometimes, like, we just went on a trip to Florida and I let laundry slip because I was trying to get every bit of the keys in. You know, like, we had another adventure. I needed to go see that other beach.
Right. You
know, trying to do that. So trying to not do that all the time. And then, of course, when we come back, it took about 7 days to get everything back in order. And, you know, some of it, we traveled with dirty dishes one of those days, one of the travel days. I've never done that. I've never left dishes in the sink. But I'm like, you know what? That's what it is today.
Right.
So just kind of getting over that, too. You have those expectations that you set for yourself for no good reason, honestly. But having that down. I love a clean RV before we travel. You know, I vacuum everything, I clean everything so the slides come in nice and smooth and clean and you don't have anything trapped in there. And I just love that. And I didn't do it that day and I felt so guilty. But then when we got where we were, we got it fixed up. But that's a weird feeling to have too, on the contrary of, you know, finding that routine is knowing when not to worry about that routine. It's a balance, and I'm not very good at it, honestly.
No, I'm the same exact way. Yeah, there's been a couple of times where I wasn't ready for our travel day, and it's like, oh my gosh, I have, you know, 15 things to do because I like to have it all clean and every like little knickknack and little, you know, accessory I pack away, but I always, you know, dust everything and clean everything. And it's like, I just don't have time for everything. And yeah, some of the things didn't get dusted or, you know, cleaned as well as, you know, I think I even had dishes too. And yeah, it's a little bit, you know, uncomfortable, but really like, who cares? And it all worked out. And it's just, yeah, kind of your mindset, I guess. But it definitely is a good frame of mind, though, when you leave and everything's clean. And then when you arrive, everything's clean. And it is a nice feeling when you can do it like that.
Definitely.
So I know that you guys are stationary sometimes for Chris's work. I would love for you guys to kind of share your story. You'll have to come back next week to hear all about their awesome story of how they are stationary for Chris's job and travel whenever they get a break to make memories with their daughter, Emma. They share so much in episode 2, so be sure to come back next week. Trust me, it's worth the wait. In the meantime, be sure to go follow Kelly and Chris so you can binge watch all of their awesome content. You'll find all the links to their social media and to their website in our show notes and on our website at roamingyourhome.com/my500squarefootlife. Be sure to come back next week for part 2 of this awesome conversation. But until then, catch up on any podcast episodes that you may have missed. We're getting such great feedback from the show, and I appreciate your support. It truly means the world to me. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope to see you on the road. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Roam in Your Home podcast and YouTube channel. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you would subscribe to our show and consider giving us a 5-star review. It's free and would mean the world to us and help us grow. If you know anyone who would also enjoy this podcast, please share it with a friend. I would also love to connect with you on Instagram or Facebook at Roam in Your Home. Come back next week for another fun adventure. But until then, stay safe, and we hope to see you on the road.